Yeah. Sue, the Buddha Rupang is from Sue, New Zealand Sue. She put it here. Just came in a few days back. Okay. Today is the 17th October, 2017, Tuesday class. So we will get ready to commence our puja. But before that, we will get 6 person to light the candle. We get Yun Chan's friend and the Burmese friend. Not your friend. It was you who brought her here. Anyway, help me inform them. Yun Chan, help me inform them to come and light the candle. Oh, okay. Then Hui Rong, 来, 你要回去了, Thursday. So you also come and light. Then Adeline also come. Then Brother Chai and Elsie. How many already? 2, 4, 6. Exactly 6. Okay, yeah. You can offer your garland flower, huh? I want each person like one. Just put it back to the drawer. You can go back to your seat. Then after they offer the flower garland, we can commence our puja. Yeah. 来，你放释迦牟尼佛。Yeah. 萨丢，萨丢，萨丢。Okay, let us line up and officially present our offering. Yeah, start with the tree. 萨丢，萨丢。Sadhu, Sadhu, 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 Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu, 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 Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu, 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 Sadhu. Okay, we will offer the rest of the item. Huh? Sadhu, 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 Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Relax body and mind, then develop the sadha, spiritual faculty of faith, then virya, followed by mindfulness, and we will commence our chanting. Namo Bhinshi Shijia Moni Fo, Namo Bhinshi Shijia Moni Fo, Namo Bhinshi Shijia Moni Fo, Namo Guan Si Yin Pusa, Namo Guan Si Yin Pusa, Namo Guan Si Yin Pusa, Namo Ami Tho Fo, Namo Ami Tho Fo, Namo Ami Tho Fo, Namo Mi Lo Fo, Namo Mi Lo Fo, Namo Mi Lo Fo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivathemi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Subhatipano Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādinā dānā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Āmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhāpamattana vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadang sena tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyantang puja bacanamuttamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santhatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhaṃ kasumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokkhaṃ pūpaṃ milayati yathā idaṃ me kāyo tathā yati vināsa bhāvaṃ ādivāsetu no bandhe Pāniyāṃ parikāpitāṃ ānukampāṃ upādāya pātigānhātu muttamāṃ ādivāsetu no bante pāle parikāpitāṃ ānukampāṃ upādāya Pātigānhātu muttamāṃ ādivāsetu no bante bhojanaṃ parikāpitāṃ ānukampāṃ upādāya pātigānhātu muttamāṃ. Now we are at page 5. We will chant the puja aspiration. Based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of flowers, or sorry, fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be transferred to all beings without exception, especially those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now let us kneel and pay respect to Tripajam. Buddhang pujami, Dhammang pujami, Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then let us get ready for meditation. You can have half an hour meditation. Just relax body and mind, huh? Completely relax, and make sure you have a stable posture. Yeah? Then check your backbone, make sure it is straight, huh? But in a relaxed body and mind position. Yeah? Then you can commence your meditation. Yeah? For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. For those who are new and who need instruction, I will give you some simple instruction. Later on, if you want to have some books, you can get it from me. I will give it to you. It's free. Donated by Kayanamita's Dhamma friends. So according to the Buddha, you need to develop mindfulness or heedfulness to develop the meditation. And the reason why living being cannot be peaceful and does not have the ability to be in the state of mindfulness or awareness in the midst of life or meditation is because of their mental hindrance. The Buddha described five types of mental hindrance. In Pali, he called it the Pancha Nivaranas. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. When you have this five, your mind will not be peaceful. You will not be able to have silence within, and it's very difficult for you to develop the meditation. Because the mental hindrance, according to the Buddha, they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why you will not be able to settle down. Your mind will have a lot of mental hindrance. Mental hindrance leading to all the thinking, the heedless thinking, the restlessness of mind, the various thought process. Your mind finds it very difficult to develop the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So according to the Buddha, you don't have to do anything to fight them or suppress or control this mental hindrance. You only need to know that they are there because you lack the opposite five spiritual faculties. And this spiritual faculty, you have to develop them on your own. If you have them, your mental faculty or spiritual faculties will automatically overcome the mental hindrance. Then technically, you sit or you lie down in whatever posture, you will be in the meditative state straight away. But most people fail to develop the spiritual faculties. The five spiritual faculties as taught by the Buddha are faith or saddha, faith in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by virya, spiritual tenacity to go this way after knowing the importance of his teaching and this type of mental training or meditation. Then the third one is sati or mindfulness, followed by samadhi or collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind, and finally is wisdom. So these five spiritual faculties, if you have developed them, your meditation becomes very easy and you are peaceful and calm with inner awareness there and then. No need to train. But most people don't have these spiritual faculties. Even if they have, they are not stable, not strong. That's why mental hindrance prevail. They are very, very powerful. They are in control. So what we do here is we will teach you a very simple mind sweeping method to help you temporarily overcome the mental hindrance. It is also a very good technique to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. If you want it at your forehead, it will stay there. If you want it to be at your chest or heart area, you will stay there. Then the good thing about this mind sweeping method is you just feel and relax. You don't think. Because of this exercise, it will help you decondition your heedless thinking and make you calm, peaceful. So this inner peace, inner calmness will arise. Then after that, we will combine with loving kindness meditation or metta. When you have metta, you will have inner well-being. That's why if you do this mind sweeping method training, it will bring about the transformation of the mind to have inner peace leading to inner well-being. And from there, you will stabilize your mind until the mental hindrance are, for the time being, temporarily kept at bay. Then you combine with the last practice, anapanasati, or whatever mindfulness of any meditation object that you are familiar with, to develop the stability of this mindfulness so that this mindfulness can be very stable. Okay, I will give you instruction on the mind swing method. Relax body and mind. Make sure your body is straight, backbone straight. Then close your eye. Then maintain attention at your forehead. Feel, just feel, don't think, feel. If you can detect any tightness, any tension or any stress within, just relax, relax and relax, completely relax the entire forehead muscle. Then you sweep the mind down to your eye muscles. Feel it, every layer, every strand of it. Relax into it, feel it soothingly. Relax, relax and relax. Then you sweep your mind down to your facial muscle, each and every strand, feel it. Relax into it. any tension, any tightness or any stress within, just relax, relax and relax until the body and mind is completely relaxed. Then in order to assist you further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you have joy. When you have joy, your mind is relaxed. Otherwise, you cannot smile. So this radiant smile will help you. Then you combine with loving kindness to bring about inner well-being. You can recite following me. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind. Each and every cell, feel it, relax into it. Then as you radiate, may I, this body and mind of mine, feel the body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. Means you are radiating well-being and happiness into each and every cells within your physical body and your mind state. Then you continue to radiate this metta. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can extend this metta towards all your loved ones. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all enmity, negativity of my states. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we will radiate this same metta to all beings. May all beings within the vicinity of this SS2 house of mine, including all Kayanamitas, all beings seen and unseen, known and unknown, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they too be free from all form of suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be free from all harm and danger. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we shall extend this loving kindness of metta to all beings within the vicinity of SS2 Petaling Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our planet Mother Earth, and extending to all beings within our solar system, galaxy, Milky Way, then finally to all beings throughout the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, just feel and relax into every part. Then you move your attention to your shoulder, feel relaxed. Your hand, feel relaxed. Back to shoulder, feel relaxed. Then move it down to your abdomen, feel Oh, sorry, your heart area. Feel and relax every part within your heart area. Then silence everything and just feel. If you can detect your heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area, you just silence your mind and just stay with it. Relax and just aware. If you are still new, not well versed in your training of the mind, then you can just feel your heart area, like you feel your forehead, then relax into it. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax, relax and relax. Feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, do the same, feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Then you move it down to your leg, feel, relax. Back to your buttock, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole process, this mind sweeping method, starting with your buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then your abdomen, feel, relax. Your stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart or chest area, feel, relax. Then you move it up to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, neck, feel, relax. Then move it up to your facial muscle. Again, feel them all. Slowly sweep them out and relax into every part within your body and mind. Then you feel your facial muscle. Relax each and every strand. Then your eye muscle. Follow by your forehead. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. And this is the silent mind, the meditative mind. But to stabilize it is more important. So the next phase is from mind sweeping method. After you have developed the inner peace, inner calmness and the inner well-being, you have to stabilize this mind state by developing anapanasati or mindfulness of the in and out breath. To do this is very simple. Just feel your breathing in front of your nostrils, silence everything and just feel like you feel your forehead. Then breathing in your mind, you can detect the breath. Move as one with the breath. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Just this training. Don't try to know. So every time you detect your breath, your breathing and your mind move as one without thought. That is mindfulness of the in and out breath. That is how you stabilize your mind. You anchor your mind to the breathing, which is always within the moment, present moment and silent without thought. So this training is very useful. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Wanders off, bring it back. Initially, before you train, you expect the mind to wander off very fast because the untrained mind is heedless. Without the spiritual faculty, it's very difficult to develop the inner peace, inner well-being and inner awareness. So now, I will let you develop the training of the mind. Develop anapanasati. If you are patient enough, every time the mind wanders off, you just bring it back to the nostril again. Then repeat, aware of whatever breathing that is going on. Breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Just maintain this cultivation. If you are patient, not long, your mind will settle down and you will develop some form of inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness. Born of anapanasati. Then when this arises, you will feel a type of spiritual calmness or spiritual joy. They call it pity. Pity will arise. Then after that, you continue to relax into it and silence everything. This pity will transform and become sukha. Sukha is a very, very much more refined state of pity. You will develop a type of mental blissfulness. You feel very good. That's why you like to meditate. Then your mind calms down very fast. Then you continue to relax and continue to be aware, silent. Then this sukha was also transformed and become pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind or stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is the meditative mind. So our main purpose is to train this mind until it settles down and develop this pasati or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Okay, I will let you develop the meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. But also still want to meditate, you can meditate. Continue your meditation. Put yourself in love slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then these are the mind state that you need to develop, stabilize it and use it in your daily life. Use it to cultivate your daily mindfulness. Develop sati sampajana, or mindfulness and clear comprehension of every action, every movement in the present moment. Yeah. When you can stabilize this daily mindfulness, your meditation will progress. Then within life itself, each and every moment, you can be in the state of sati, mindfulness, fully aware, to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. When you have clear comprehension and mindfulness, your mind will become different. You are most of the time aware, heedful. You are not heedlessly thinking, lost in thought. You will have inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. The mental hindrance cannot arise. So this is what meditation is all about. When you understand, you can develop it very well and very easily. When you don't understand, then you will be doing a lot of not so effective type of meditation. Always remember all of methods and techniques that people teach you. They are just the initial skillful means to train your mind to have sati, stability or sati, that's all. And most people cannot develop the mindfulness, the peacefulness, the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness to meditate. That's why they are forced to focus, to concentrate, and develop the calmness by going into one-pointedness. Or they call jhanas. So if you do that, your mind will become a conditioned state. It's not a free mind. And when you are in that state of conditioned state, the inner peace, inner calmness is not natural. It's a calmness that is induced by the concentration, the energy. And this is what samatha meditation is all about. If you want to develop vipassana or insight meditation, you have to release this calmness out into daily mindfulness, daily awareness, a free mind that is fully aware and mindful in the midst of life. Then everything you do, you must develop mindfulness. Even the puja we do just now, you must be mindful, aware. Like the Buddha mentioned, standing aware, sitting aware, walking also aware. Then when you lie down, you are also aware. Then turning, bending, stretching, or whatever you do in your daily life, you maintain awareness or mindfulness. Even when you dress your clothing, answer nature's call, while eating, chewing, whatever you do, you maintain mindfulness within. And this is the real training leading to the real insight meditation, which is vipassana. Then after that, you can develop further training. We are following the four foundation of mindfulness. Mindfulness of the kaya, vedana, sanya, citta and dhamma. So the four foundation of mindfulness are the area of mindfulness that you need to anchor your mind, train your mind, and develop the understanding of the essential dhamma, leading to the awakening. Okay, now we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Then we will continue with our invocation to the devas. invocation to the devas in this universe, in their entirety. Let the deities or deva come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. We are at page 6 of the chanting book. Then we will chant the Pali, Devaratana. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Ittepeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavate Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chatari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we shall continue with our Dhamma sharing session. We are following the book, The Buddha and His Teaching by Venerable Sarada. We are at page 120, chapter 8. Before we start, I would like to maybe remind Kayanamita, sir. This coming Sunday is our gathering of Kayanamita, our 13th anniversary gathering. So if you have registered, please come early. Leave a comment at 10:30 until about maybe 11:10. You can have about 40 minutes of fellowship. Then you can also see some of the books and spiritual trip, what they call album that we have developed. So this year, our recent September trip, yeah, our September trip to Guangzhou, 6 patriarch temples, together with Guilin, China, they are all compiled into a very nicely developed album. Then we will also have a lot of this, what they call sharing for the activity for this year, 2017. And this year we achieved many milestones. The most important milestone is the, of course, the launching of our special website, brotherteo.com. Or my Kayanamita website, Brother Teo's Kayanamita website. Then we also managed to launch this book, a very important book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, and this is a very good book. So you should get a copy if you haven't had. Then thirdly is we managed to bring forth the teaching of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way. The teaching has been firmly established, and these are the three important milestones that we have achieved. The rest are our usual activities. Then you can also get to see a video clip of what we have gone through, a whole review of our 2017 activity until our final spiritual trip. Then this gathering of Kayanamita, of course, the whole of the event will also be recorded via photos and whatever audio files for sharing later on. You can upload them from the website. Then I think the next one or 2 days, if we can get ready the video, we will let you know. Then you can click it in to see before the actual day. And we would like to thank all the organizers and Kayanamita who has helped make all this possible. Oh, the other thing is the MC and the deputy MC. Our deputy MC. You are the deputy MC. Never mind. Don't worry. Joyce will ding dong first. But you have to liaise with her. She is down with food poisoning yesterday and he couldn't make it today. So after you see Padmasiri, she got something for you. The program or those things. Then you coordinate with Joyce. Then the activity are quite similar to last year. I think you should be able to grasp them very quickly. Then Joyce is very familiar, so no problem. Okay, now we will call upon Song, Brother Song. He's supposed to be the one doing the presentation for today's Dhamma sharing, chapter 8, page 120. I will hand the mic over to him. Come. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You use this one.
今天我要 share 的 Please forgive me to share in the Mandarin, sir.
It's okay. Okay. I will try to translate.
Okay. So, chapter 8 is about the Buddha and his relative. So, in this chapter 8, 里面, 他有讲到他的三个的, relative. 第一个就是, Buddha 的爸爸, 第二个是他的太太, 第三个是他的儿子。 那么, 第一个是讲他的爸爸, 他的爸爸是 King Suddhodana。 这个, after 这个 Buddha 他, enlightened 以后, 他在这个, 鹿野烟, 初转法轮过后, 他就去了, Rajgiri, 灵鹫山, 他住在那个灵鹫山那边。 那, 他的 father 就知道他的儿子, 很想念他的儿子。 And 他就派了九个的这个军士去邀请佛陀回去他的故乡卡比拉瓦图。说这九个这个臣子去见了佛陀了以后，当他们听到了 Dharma 之后，全部都 attaining 了这个 Arahantship。 所以当他们成为了阿拉汉了以后，他们的这个 mind 是 different 了，then 他们就没有 convey 那个 message to 那个 Buddha， 所以这个 他的 father 就很伤心了。Finally， 他的 father 又 send another 的这个臣子，就是 Karudayi， 是 佛陀的这个 小时候的玩伴。 Then, 这个 Karuyadi before 他去的时候，他有 get 这个 permission from 这个国王 to enter 那个 order. So 同样的，这个 Karuyadi 他到了 Rajgiri 见到了佛陀了以后，听到了 Dharma， 也 enter 了 Arahantship. But 他不像之前的那个九个臣子，他。 过后，他有 convey 了这个 message to 他的 to Buddha that 他的爸爸很想念他，所以就有邀请 Buddha 回 Kapilavastu，所以 after that 这个佛陀就 arrange 了一个时间，就从这个 Rajgiri 用2个月的时间慢慢的走回去这个 Kapilavastu。 所以当他回去了这个家乡了以后。 就有一件事情，就是他们的 relative 就觉得这个 Sakyamuni 就是他以前是很小的时候，所以他们是有一点看不起他，所以那个 Buddha 他就有修了一点的那个 psychic 就是 twin wonder。 的那个 phenomena 给他们看，这个 twin wonder 的 phenomena 就是那个火跟那个水，好 combine together，所以当他们每个看到了以后，就开始对这个 Buddha 升起了恭敬心，and then 过后这个 Buddha 就跟他们 share 了这个 Dharma， 然后大家就很高兴，就 after that 就没有人邀请 Buddha for 这个 tea house 啊，for 的这个 lunch the next day， 这个国王他的爸爸也没有邀请，因为他的爸爸就想 ，if my son does not come to my house， where will he go？ 所以这个爸爸也没有邀请这个 Buddha for the next day 的这个 lunch。 So on the next day 的时候，这个 Buddha 他就 contemplate， 他就想。 因为没有人邀请他 for 这个 lunch， 所以他就 morning 他就有在 recall， 他讲 ，Did the Buddha of the past upon entering the city of their king fort straightway enter the house of the relative， or did they go from house to house in regular order receiving alm？ So after that， 他就看到了。 过去的所有的 Buddha 都是去 receiving alms 了以后，这个 Buddha 就 on the way 就去 就去就是去佛这个 receive 那个 arm 的时候，当这个国王他从他的媳妇那边哈、哦，就是这个这个 Sakyamuni 的这个太太那边听到这个他的儿子在街上 begging alms 的时候，他感觉到很 shame， 所以他就去街上就去跟佛陀讲说Why do you put me to shame？哦、就是他看到佛陀就 seek for alms 的时候，然后那个佛陀就讲 Oh, I'm not putting you to shame。他讲 Oh, great king, I'm following the custom of my lineage。哦，那佛陀就跟他讲，但是这个 king 又讲 But dear son, it is the custom of my lineage to gain a livelihood by seeking alms。哦，所以就有一点 argue 的在一边正讲。那个佛陀讲 ，Oh great king, this is not the custom of your royal lineage, but it is the custom of my Buddha lineage. Several thousand of Buddha have lived by seeking arm. 所以就当他们站在这个街上对话了以后，这个 Buddha、就跟他的爸爸讲了这一句话 ：Be not heedless in standing.哦、就是 at door for 那个 arm、哦、就跟他的爸爸讲 Be not heedless in standing Lead a righteous life The righteous life happily both in this world and in the next 当他的爸爸一听到了这个 sentence 了以后他的爸爸就 enter 了 Sotapan、哦、Then after that 这个爸爸就、这个 king 就把这个 Buddha 带回了皇宫去 serve for 这个 lunchThen, before 那个 lunch end 的时候，这个 Buddha 又讲了 ，Lead a righteous life and not one that is corrupt. The righteous life happily both in this world and in the next. 他的爸爸又进入了 second sainthood， 就是 Sakadami。Then, 最后这个爸爸要去世之前，他躺在床上的时候 ，Buddha 又有跟他讲了一个 Dharma。Then after 他听了那个 Dharma， 他的爸爸就进了 Arahantship、哦。Then after 他 experience 这个the highest bliss for 7 days 了以后，他的爸爸就 pass away as 一个 lay Arahant、哦。这个就是讲到他的 father King Suddhodana 的story。然后第二个讲的就是他跟讲他的太太 Yasodhara 这个Siddhartha 太子跟这个他的太太结婚是在16岁的时候啊，当他在29岁的时候，这个太太怀了他的孩子，在他的太太在当天晚上生这个孩子的时候啊。他的这个悉达多太子也离开了皇宫去追寻这个真理，所以当这个太子离开这个皇宫的时候，他没有给任何人的知道。当第二天这个太太生了孩子，第二天早上他知道他的先生就是悉达多太子离开了这个皇宫了以后，他非常的伤心啊、所以他就一个人就 take over 就养大了跟他的这个爸爸跟那个 king 一起来养大了这个孩子。And then 所以这个他的太太当他听到他的 husband 就在过着一个hermit life 的时候，他的太太也 remove all her jewelry 然后穿着很简单的黄色的衣服，也是说他跟着他的先生一样，在这个六年里面、当这个释迦牟尼佛陀在苦修的时候，这个他的太太 Yasodhara 也跟着、过很简单的生活，也没有带着这个金银首饰，他就跟着这个悉达多一样的在过简单的生活。当这个过后，当这个布达回到了卡比拉瓦兔的时候，他的太太就有去 pay a respect， 然后他的太太就有make 一个 will 讲 ，Certainly if there is any virtue in me, the noble lord himself will come to my presence。 So after 这个 Buddha 吃了午餐了以后，就去这个 Yasodhara 他太太的那个宫殿里面去见他啊，然后让他去 pay respect。So 然后这个 king 哈、啊，这个 king 就有讲了这个 sentence， 这个 sentence 是这一句话讲到的就是actually 他们是一个 affinity 来的，在 in the past life。他说 Lord， when my daughter heard that you were wearing yellow robe， she also robed herself in yellow。 When she heard that you were taking one meal a day， she also did the same。 When she heard that you had given up lofty couch， he lay on a low couchWhen she heard that you had given up garland and scents, she also gave them up. When her relatives sent message to say that they would maintain her, she did not even look at a single one. So virtue was my daughter. Then 这个 Buddha 就说 not only in this last birth, O king, but in a previous birth too, she protected me and was devoted and faithful to me. 也就是说这个太太跟这个Siddhartha太子他们是有 affinity in the future life 的，他们是 life after life 都在一起了、哦、Then after这个在这里他没有什么讲到他的这个太太的这个 story， 他也是讲 after the death of the king Suddhodana， 就是 Sakyamuni 的爸爸去世了以后，连他的这个后母、就是这个第二个这个Gotama become a nun， 就是这个Pachapati Gotama， 就是那个悉达多太子的姨母，他的妈妈的这个妹妹来 take over 来养他的这个姨母，他 become as a nun， 然后这个他的太太也 enter the order and attain the arahantship。Then among the woman disciples, she was the chief of those who attained great supernormal power. At the age of the 78, she passed away. 所以这个是讲到他的这个太太。然后第三个最后一个讲到的就是他的儿子叫做 Rahula。 所以这个 Rahula 在出世的时候，他的这个爸爸当天晚上就去追寻真理，所以这个 Rahula 是给他的 father 跟他的给他的 mother 跟这个 grandfather， 就是这个 king Suddhodana 带大的哦。当他的爸爸在当这个Rahula 七岁的时候，他的爸爸就回到了 Kapilavastu 啊。然后当他回到了以后，他的这个妈妈，这个妈妈就跟他的这个孩子讲，就叫这个孩子去找他的 father， 就去跟他的 father 讲，他就讲，He is your father and he had great treasure.Since his renunciation, we do not see them. Go up to him and ask for your inheritance and say, Father, I am the prince. After my consecration, I will be a universal monarch. I am in need of wealth. Please give me wealth, for the son is the owner of what belongs to the father.Then 这个 Rahula 他就因为他还七岁，所以他也就跑去了跟 Buddha 和 repeat 了这个 sentence， 也就是他的妈妈教他的，他就跟这个佛陀讲 ，Oh ascetics， even your shadow is blessing to me 啊。Then after 吃了饭了以后，这个 Buddha 他就离开了这个皇宫，连这个 Rahula 他的孩子就跟着去，就跟着去讲 ，Give me my inheritance。就跟着去，连这个没有人 stop 他 ，and then Buddha 也没有 prevent， 就让他跟着这个 Buddha 去。然后他到了一个 park 了以后，一个花园，这个 Buddha 就在想 ，He desired in his father well， but it goes with the world and is full of trouble. I shall give him the sevenfold noble wealth which I received at the foot of the Bodhi tree。也就是说，世间的这个财，是一个烦恼障来的， 等于说他的这个 father 就讲，我应该给他这个最好的这个财啊，这个珠宝，就是他 receive from 那个 Bodhi tree， and make him an owner of a transcendental inheritance。So after that， 他就 call Venerable Sariputra to ordain 这个 Rahula， 这个 Rahula 就 become as a 这个noble order， 他进了这个 noble order 就变成了这个 monk， 在他七岁的时候，当他的当这个King Suddhodana 就是他的这个国王的这个Sakyamuni 的爸爸听到了以后，他非常的伤心。他就 approach 那个 Buddha， 跟 Buddha humbly 的这个 requesting him not to ordain anyone without the prior consent of the parents。 然后这个 Buddha 也 agree， 之后 Buddha 就 grants the request and make it as a vinyana rules。 也就是说过后这个所有的人要出家的时候都是要 get 他的 permission from 他的 parents as a 一个 vinyana rules。然后当这个这个 Rahula 在七岁的时候，当他 become as 这个monk 的时候，他是很exceptionally obedience and well disciplined。 所以这个他在这里有讲到一个，他 Buddha 给他一个最早的一个这个 sutta， 就讲到 about the truthfulness。 就跟他讲到这个 truthfulness 的这个重要。 Then 然后过后emphasizing the importance of truthfulness with such homely illustrations， the Buddha explained to him the value of reflections and the criteria of morality in such a way as a child could understand。 So 他就过后他跟这个他就用了这个比喻跟这个 Rahula 来讲法。他说 Rahula， for what purpose is a mirror， 这个镜子是拿来做什么的。 Then 他的这个儿子就讲 for the purpose of reflecting。 Then 所以 Buddha 就讲 similarly Rahula， after reflecting should bodily action be done， after reflecting should verbal action be done， after reflecting should mental action be done。 也就是说我们时常要看着我们的身口意，我们要去 reflect 跟 recall 我们的这个身口意的一切的所作所为。 Then whatever action you desire to do with the body of that particular bodily action, you should reflect now this action that I desire to perform with the body, would thisMy bodily action be conducive to my own harm or to the harm of others, or to that of both myself and others? Then unskillful in these bodily actions, entailing suffering and producing pain. 所以这个 Buddha 就有跟这个 Rahula 讲，他要时常的用这种方式来 reflect 跟 contemplate 这个 body 的这个 actions, is it harm to herself and harm to others. And then 过后然后就然后过后就过后然后就这个 Buddha 有叫他 reflecting reflections 这个 essential stating that constant reflections was essential for purification。也就是说这个 reflections is seen like is a very important 的一个 dharma。 所以在这个初转法轮里面，这个 reflect 这个 contemplation 是在 second 的 turning wheel turning， 它 represent is a very important 的这个 dharma cultivations。因为如果我们在 first turning， 如果我们 after hearing 的以后我们不能够有 understanding 跟 awaken， it means that we need to go to the second turning， which is the reflections 跟 contemplations。 even 在这里这个 Buddha 也跟这个Rahula 有 emphasize on 这个 importance of reflections。 他有讲到 must you train yourself by constantly reflecting, shall we purify our bodily action? By constantly reflecting, shall we purify our verbal action? By constantly reflecting, shall we purify our mental actions? 所以这个 sentence, actually 当我在看这个 chapter 的时候 especially 当我在看到这个 sentence 的时候我真的是很高兴。因为Bradio 每次有跟我们 share 说我们要时常做这个 contemplation 跟做这个 reflex 的时候我都说that's why 我有在 follow, 但是当我在 prepare 这个 chapter 8的时候当我在看到的这个句子的时候 exactly 这个句子也是这个 Buddha 在跟他的孩子 Rahula 在 emphasize on 这个 contemplation 跟这个 reflections 的这个 important, 因为如果我们时常去 contemplate 跟 purify 去 reflect 我们的这个身口意的时候我们同时是在 purify 我们同时我们也是在加强我们的 understanding、然后就在过后然后在第在他只有下一个他有讲到在这个 Rahula 18岁的时候就有一个 incident、就是当这个Rahula 跟这个 Buddha 去 ask for alms 的时候Then, 这个 Rahula, 他的儿子就在这个 Buddha 的后面。当他看到了他的爸爸走在前面的时候，这个孩子就 arise 了这个 thought。他说，他就 arise 了这个 thought, 他就 admiring 他的爸爸。他说 I too am handsome like my parents, the exalted one. Beautiful is the Buddha form.And mine is similar. Then, 这个 Buddha instantly, 他有读到了他的这个 Rahula 的这个 evil thought, and then 这个 Buddha 就有跟这个他的孩子讲 This is not mine, this am I not, this is not my soul. Then 他就有跟这个就跟这个 Rahula 就过后就 inquiry to 这个Buddha, 他应该要这样子的去contemplate, 去 contemplate 这个 form as such. Then Buddha replies that he should regard all the five aggregate as such. 也就是我们要时常的这个 five khandhas, 就是form and mind.我们要时常的去 reflect, this is not mine, this am I not, and this is not my soul. So, 当这个 Rahula received 了这个special 的这个 instructions from 这个 Buddha, 他就没有再跟着去ask for arm, 他就 sit at the side, to cross the leg, to meditate on mindfulness.然后这个 Venerable Sariputra 他有看到他的时候这个 Sariputra 又有 advice 他用这个Anapana 的这个 inhaling and exhaling 的这个方法来做 meditations then 这个 Rahula 就用就跟着这个他的爸爸教他的这个object spatial meditation 就是 reflect 这个五个 skandhas 的这个 objectas a meditation, 再加上用这个 anapana 的这个方法来meditate. Then acting according to the Buddha instruction, he succeeded in his meditation. 最后他 attained the arahantship. 那这所以他就在这里就大概就这样子讲到。所以主要这个 chapter 8就是讲到这三个人就是这个Buddha 的这三个the relative how to attain 他们听到了这个 Dharma 怎样的 attain 了这个 Arahantship but Bharati 我在 prepare 的时候我有一个question 就是 This is not mine this Am I not? This is not my soul.
Yes.
这个 my soul, is it 它是翻译错了呢？还是这个？因为很像佛陀从来没有讲过用这个 soul 这个 words， 所以当我在读到的时候，我就觉得 is this 这个买受是maybe 是 translation 的问题，还是maybe
it's correct because in the time of the Buddha, the Hindu believe in the Atman, what they call Atman, or they call the ultimate soul, means there is a higher self, the ultimate self. So they believe in a soul. And the Buddha's explanation is very simple because it has to relate to the practice at that time, the belief at that time. So we normally say, this is not me, this is not I, therefore these are not mine. Then he referred to the consciousness. The consciousness, which has the four aggregate of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, they are also impermanent, leading to suffering. That's why it's also non-self, empty. That's why it's not a unchanging entity that you can call a soul. This is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So that is where the Hindu terminology comes in. Okay.
还有一个就是当我在看的时候，我不懂 maybe 是我的 English not good 还是就是这个他的太太哦，就是Yasodhara 在这个 page 127面的时候129面他叫他的孩子去跟他的爸爸 ask for 这个
inheritance、
因为在之前他在讲他的太太的时候又讲means that 很像有 很多的一些的 understanding of 这个但为什么他又会叫他的这个孩子 seven 那个七岁的孩子
yeah,
去跟他的 去跟他的 father ask for 这个
here the mother is very wise. Yasodhara is very wise. You see, Rahula is only 7 years old. You understand? Yeah. So he has to say something that lay people understand. Because Sakyamuni Buddha at that time, Gautama Siddhartha, was his father, biological father. So as a father, the son, the only son, is entitled to inheritance. So he said, go and see your father and tell him you want your inheritance. Because for him, he's only 7 years old. And the mother knew the Buddha, after he renounced the world, he got nothing else except the Dhamma to give it to him. That's why when he asked him to ask for his inheritance, the Buddha will know what to give it to him. So all those wealth thing is just the way the commentary wrote about it. It's actually phrased in a very, very wise way. But that is the best way to ask. The actual word could be ask for your inheritance, your rightful inheritance. And you know, after the Buddha has renounced the world, he don't own anything except the Dhamma. So he can only give him the seven treasure or the sevenfold wealth, as mentioned there. And his seven instruction to him is very important. That is the most complete instruction for any monks to train to become fully enlightened. Whatever your personality, whatever your background, your karmic, you follow these seven, you will become enlightened. Well, this is a complete instruction. First is I remember truthfulness. Then after that is on all the other virtue of body, speech and mind. So all this contemplation, reflection, there are seven. And when you do that, it will lead you to the understanding of what constitutes evil. Because whatever constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, he used this technique of reflection, the second turning, which Brother Song pointed out just now, in a very skillful way. He said, before you do anything, say anything, or arise any thought, you have to reflect. He said, by doing this, does it harm me? Does it harm others? See? Instead of greed, hatred, delusion, then you all don't have the karmic past or the guidance from a proper teacher who can explain to you what constitutes evil, the three evil roots, and expand on them. You may not understand. Like the five precepts, you may not understand why I keep the precept, why the Buddha said we have to undertake the training rule to abstain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, telling lie and all those things, and partake intoxicant and all those things that can lead to dullness of consciousness and downfall. So all this, it will be easier for the cultivator to understand if they were to reflect on everything they do. If I were to kill and harm, does it cause me harm and cause other people harm? Are they very clear? The five basic precepts are very, very powerful evils that every living being and cultivator must avoid. And it's very easy to understand it. If you don't undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings, you will suffer. Your karma will fall. And you will harm others and harm yourself. Harming yourself means you committed evil. Karma-wise, you suffer the friction of it. People will harm you and kill you. And likewise, when you do this to people, you cause them suffering and misery. That's the reason why all this teaching can become very powerful. If you constantly reflect and contemplate on them, that if it's harmful, don't do. If it's not harmful, do. Then after that, you go into the cultivation of the four right efforts. That one is the second stage. After you reflect, contemplate, then let's say the evil root arise. Just like the Buddha say, anger has arise. Negativity or mental intention has arise. Fear, worry, anxiety has arise. What must you do? Because arisen already through heedlessness, through delusion, you have to arise the right effort to abandon them. That is the first thing you have to do. Then after you have the ability to abandon them, the Buddha described five ways. The third way, which is meditative. Then the fourth way is to develop wisdom. Then you will have the ability to arise the second right effort to prevent them from arising. Because you know this constitutes evil, harm yourself and harm others. And you will have the mindfulness to see it very clearly. Because by then you will have understood all this, what constitutes evil. That's why you will have the ability to prevent them from arising. Then after that, only you can purify using right effort to arise the right speech, right action and right thought that is still not in you. Then cultivate the virtue that are still not in you. So when you develop all this virtue, you will have the understanding that these are very conducive for the holy life. It will lead to wholesomeness, goodness, progress, understanding, harmony, love, and a lot of beneficial things. Then you will commit yourself to the last right effort, which is the fourth one. You will determine to constantly refine upon all this right thought, right speech, and right action that you have already developed, all the virtue, all the skillful action, speech. Refine upon them and perfect them until it becomes a part of your nature. That's how the four right efforts, through this constant cultivation, will lead to enlightenment. Yeah. This is part of the Noble Eightfold Path. Path factor of four right effort. Then after that, when your virtue is taken care of, you will have very good sila. Without sila, your virtue, you cannot take care. You cannot avoid all evil, do good. Then after that, you have to purify your mind, which is right mindfulness. That one you have to contemplate on the essential Dhamma, especially the three characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. That's why finally he taught Rahula to reflect and contemplate on the physical body and mind, the five aggregate of form and mind. He told Rahula, not only the form is impermanent, leading to suffering and non-self or empty, even the aggregate of mind, there is no permanent unchanging entity that you can call a soul. Because the Hindu at that time believed in a permanent unchanging soul that transmigrates from one life to the next. Do you understand? They believe nothing dies. At the moment of death, that soul transmigrates and enter another form and take over. The Buddha said no. There is no such teaching. Because he saw it in the meditation. He see how people die and take birth. Immediately after the last thought moment, that form and mind cease to be. Then that last thought condition rebirth consciousness. There is no permanent unchanging soul or entity that transmigrate and cross over to take birth. No. It's just one consciousness condition. Then after that, the random of consciousness will come out, and that is separate. Then that rebirth consciousness, they will inherit everything that you have developed through karma. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. Then from that moment onward, that single rebirth consciousness will start to slowly develop, inherit the karmic past from the karmic nature. Then the life force or the supportive karma, they will pump the heartbeat if it's a human birth. And through that, the conditioning start, the brain, everything. Then your DNA that is born with it is all coded according to your karmic response from the past. And that is how rebirth take place. There is no such thing as a permanent soul that transmigrate and take over the body. If that is the case, you will recall everything. True or not? Because your soul, the entire soul, cross over. But because it's not this way, that's why even when you meditate, you will know. When you go through the cessation, and when sometimes you happen to have the condition, their consciousness can come out. You can see how it happened. Then you will have the condition to come back to this form of mind. That's why you will understand what consciousness is, not what you think. Then you meditate until you have awakened. Then you can go through the realization of Nibbana, cessation of form and mind. Then you will understand exactly who you are, what you are. The unconditioned. That's the reason why the Buddha said if there is no such thing as Nibbana, which is the unconditioned, escape from the conditioned world is impossible. So all these are related to the Buddha's teaching. His teaching is very unique. So this Rahula Sutta is very, very important. And we should thank Brother Song because he must have spent quite a bit of time going through. He described very detailed, do you know that? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I think still got one page to go in the last page. Page 138. In the 14th year after the enlightenment of the Buddha.
then Saminera Rahura received his higher ordination.
He predeceased the Buddha and Venerable Sariputta. I mean, he passed away before them. Then there is some more you should read. The last part is the most beautiful.
Venerable Rahura was distinguished for his high standard of discipline. The following four verses are attributed to him in the Terakata. Being fortunate from both sides, they call me Lucky Rahula. I was the son of the Buddha and that of the Seal of Truth. Destroy are all of my corruptions. There is no more rebirth to me. An Arahant am I, worthy of offering. Possessed of threefold knowledge and a seed of Dallas am I. Blinded by sense desire, spread over by a net, covered by a cloth of craving, bound by the kinsmen of heedlessness, was I like a fish caught in the mouth of a funnel net. That sense desire have I burned, the bond of Mara have I cut, eradicating craving from its root. Who am I? Peaceful am I now?
Yeah, very good. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You all got any question for him, you better throw or use the mic. Come. Han, pass the mic to you.
Please explain, just as you mentioned about Lay Arahant and Arahant. What is the difference between an Arahant and Lay Arahant?
Yeah, the father died as a Lay Arahant. he was not ordained.
He's a lay person.
Yeah, because you are not a monk. Because his father didn't take ordination. Definitely. That is what the commentary say. I tell you, Han, I have explained many times. If the Arahant is so fragile, after 7 days you become Arahant, you don't ordain and become monk, you will die. Do you want to become the type of Arahant? No way. He is already without craving. You think he crazy and he go and commit suicide? He won't. And what is the meaning of ordination? Ordination means your heart ordained. Understand? It's not the symbol, the robe. The robe is just a symbol of ordination. And like my teacher, Ajahn Yantra, the Taiwan, he used to say, if the rope defines the monk, we put the rope around the tree also become monk. True or not? It's not the rope, it's the being inside there. If the being, the form and mind is connected to the wisdom that rooted out the 10 fetters, then that form and mind is Arahant. But that form and mind is not you. Always remember that. And how can the form and mind with the wisdom be so fragile? Must go for ordination and all those things. It is because in the sutta, there are many occasions after they become Arahant, they wish to be ordained. Understand? That's why they go and come up with all this interpretation. It's not always the case. The father was an Arahant, but he never ordained. No need. And there are many during the Buddha's time lay people who become Arahant. And I think one of them was by the name of Citta, I think. Citta. He is a very wise lay person. And the Buddha actually praised him a lot. And if you go and read on his story, it is a lot of very interesting Jataka story on that lay person. Okay, yeah. Anybody else? Any more questions? Ah, yeah. Yon Chan, come.
The consciousness dies, I can't remember, but there are children, very young children, they can remember their past life.
I didn't say can't remember. I say if you have a soul, you will remember. If there is a soul that transmigrate, then you will remember your past. I didn't say can't remember. I say if there is a soul theory, like the Hindu belief, that's why you can't remember. It's not they remember, they recall, understand or not? Because there were signs, there were conditions. When they saw something, they recall. And this is in your subconscious. Do you understand? And these are very rare cases, and most of them are not true. Most of them are what the thought process, or what they call the subconscious trigger off, then they believe there is something. But these are random of the subconscious release memory. Do you understand? The deep store consciousness that is released out. But these are not true. No, even those who do jhana, I tell you, they thought they see past life. It's not true. It's all generated and created by thought. Do you understand? Even this life, I tell you, a lot of your dreams are your subconscious release. And how many of them can you remember? Even this life you can't recall, understand or not? What you saw me is that condition that arise because we were doing the chanting, we were doing that thing, understand or not? Then the condition that arise, you saw that image of what I am, understand or not? And that image is a manifestation at that time to develop faith in you, nothing else. No, you have not met me, you cannot, because no, nothing to do with that. It's the condition that arise because you need that faith. That's why it manifests. Understand now? And the Buddha already mentioned all these are mind-made. Forget about it. Even if it's the truth, so what? It's just a consciousness. Arise, pass away. Then after that, interpretation of the consciousness. Do you understand? Everybody interpret. Understand? Then he will have his story. Yeah, last time somebody killed me. And all that is your side of your story of what happened. But in the same condition, whoa, when something arises, it is subject to a lot of interpretation. According to you, it's like that. According to another person, it's not like that. Do you understand? So when you perceive something, it's always within the moment. And it is based on your understanding. If you don't have wisdom and understanding, it's your views, opinion, and your conditioning. And the way you perceive something is dependent on your views, opinion, and conditioning most of the time. Unless you have wisdom and understanding, then you will see things as they are. You will perceive them in accordance with reality. Jnana dasana. It's not a views and a opinion and a conditioning or a belief system. You can follow this thing or not? Because these are very important. That's why I say forget about all this past life thing and all those things. It's not going to help you. If we can give you faith, it's okay. But apart from that, it's already gone. is how condition arise and let you perceive. And most of the time, it's not the real thing. Yeah. Correct. Like your dream, did you search? You did search. How many of your dream is the truth? Sometimes not connected one. Understand or not? Bits and pieces one. Sometimes all the funny type of images come, disappear, then about other thing one. Very illogical one. You can't believe the consciousness release. No point. Even when you're in concentration, all the image that come out, sometimes it's due to Mara. Understand or not? Created and let you perceive, and they try to condition you into believing all these things. Because you play with energy field. When you play with energy field, you will get caught in energy field. It's just like the Chinese sword fighting show. Zhen zai jiang hu. Means you are involved with the swordsmanship. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. Understand? No matter how skillful you are, they always want to become the world number one. Tian xia di yi. Tian ha tai yan. Where got such thing? Finally, somebody will challenge you. And ultimately, you will die. Even without people killing you, you will also die. So all this, to me, when you understand, it has got no meaning. Well, there is no reality. The conditioned world is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising. Even every segment of form and mind that individually we come through karma, they are not real. They are not you. You have taken birth for eons and eons of years of life. Which segment of the life is you? Sometimes you are born as a human being. Devas, Brahmas, maybe animals, understand? Petas. Which one is you? None of them are you. These are your five aggregate of form and mind, segmented form and mind like the Buddha. Just like he told Rahula, this is not I, this is not me. This is not soul. There is no such thing. But this is karmically conditioned. That's why the five aggregate, they are impermanent. They lead to suffering if you attach and cling. That's why upadana khandas, the grasping aggregate, are suffering. Dukkha. And because they are impermanent, it is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, it can own anything. All this can be mine. That's the reason why the Buddha said, since it's dependent originating, it is impermanent. We are dependent on condition it arises, and it's not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence, you cannot say, this is me, this is I. So, all this is, according to the Buddha, impermanent, empty, not real. That's why there is no such thing as an atta, a permanent unchanging entity within, or a soul that transmigrate. Where the soul, they believe, is the ultimate entity that never die. Eternal soul, the Christian always use this word. Even the Hindu, the Atman, the super self, the ultimate self, never die. They believe this is the ultimate self, or the universal self. But whatever it is, the Buddha already realized all this and came to the understanding that there is no such thing as an atta, even within the unconditioned. When you realize nibbana, that you cease to be, there is no such thing as you realize nibbana. That form and mind that enters cessation realize nibbana, but that form and mind is a conditioned arising entity, not real, not you. That's why there is no such thing as a person realizing nibbana or getting enlightened. Yeah. But there is such thing as an enlightened being, an arahan, an anagami, a sakadagami, a sotapan. Yes, the form and mind exists. But that one is not you, the Buddha said. That one is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, impermanent. It will disperse, it will cease. when conditions is to be evil cease. So don't have the delusion that this is real, this is me. After I meditate, I can become enlightened. That I can realize this, I can realize that. There is no such thing. But the form and mind that goes through the transformation, experience all this, realize all this. But that fellow is not you. Can you understand? Because I realize you all have this atta very strong in you. Very, very strong. You still believe you exist. And that one is very difficult to break, to sever. Well, that is from the egoic mind, sakkayaditti, self-delusion. And you have to go through that realization of nibbana, even a glimpse of it, cessation, to really, really root that out. Otherwise, not easy. Because the egoic mind is very strong. Even at the sotapanna stage, sakkadagami, or even anagami, you still have that, what they call subtle ego. Mana, they call it minor conceit. And you still attach to the five upper fetters. You still attach to the formless and the formless existence. The form and the formless jhana. Then you still have restlessness of mind. Minor conceit, mana, and all those things. And ignorance is still there, avijja. Not until that being realized arahantship, avijja cannot be rooted out. So upon death, there will be rebirth consciousness. But when you realize arahantship, means the form and mind realize arahantship, then the arahant will know that form and mind is not him. Then there is no more ignorance. At the moment of death, the death consciousness is without ignorance. That's why it cannot condition rebirth consciousness. Finish. Cease. They call it parinibbana. It realizes nibbana. It enters cessation of form and mind. Completely cease. Cannot talk about. Even the pure awareness also no more. Then the form and mind disperse. That's why the Buddha said nibbana is without remain. Without remain means nothing. Everything ceases. But when the arahant exists and they realize nibbana, that one is nibbana with residue. Means the karmic force is still there. There is still the residue karmic force. That's why that form and mind can come back. After realizing nibbana, the consciousness can come back and animate back the form and mind. But on parinibbana, the final death, no more life force, no more condition. It just is gone. Can follow? Cannot follow, so never mind. Later when you realize, you will understand. Otherwise, you cannot understand. Okay, yeah. Anything else? Anybody else? After this onward, I think there will be more Dhamma topic for discussion, which is more interesting. You should inquire into all this. These are very good questions. Later on, when we reach the stage of karma, a lot of questions, I tell you. Because there is all the karma, what type of karma, what type of karma, all described there. And it's a very complicated topic. Then you will have different people with different opinion, views and conditioning telling you all sorts of things. I remember during the early day, we had this Dhamma Link. Last time started by BGF. Everywhere they try to group together on one of Tuesday or Thursday, I forgot already. Last time SS2 used to have. We have it at Sister, what is her name already? Sister Lian Jin and the other one is what? The two very close one. They rented one house in SS2 Road. I forgot what road already. We used to attend those sharing and classes. I cannot remember her name. But she is the wife of... She is married to one of the Dhamma speaker, I remember. My wife, where's my wife? Maybe she remember. Ananda Fong, married to Ananda Fong. What is the wife's name? Yin Chan, you know, no? Ananda Fong's wife. Her name very easy to pronounce on. I cannot recall her. My wife and me used to attend last time. Then after that, they appoint me to be the like you are one round like that. Then they suddenly decide to appoint me for life. Not really for life, for the whole session. That's why they also go around and we do the sharing. That time was fun. That time we have all the chair together, you know, like musical chair like that. Everybody sit around and it's like in the uni they call it the dialogue session. You got this counseling department. They got the PhD holder who is a counselor, I think. He will gather all the people for that year. Then he group them together. Then we have our weekly session. Sometimes it's twice bi-weekly and sometimes it's maybe once a month. Then during this sharing, 40 over or 50 of us, then he will come up with a topic. Then they brainstorm. Wow, very interesting. But that one is more for academic and career guidance and all things. Ours is Dhamma session. So you should actually start to prepare your inquisitive mind to ask questions. Then the condition can arise for more Dhamma understanding to flow. Any more questions to Brother Song? We got 10 minutes. Brother Song can continue.
Actually, 我很少看英文书, 所以当我在看这个 chapter 8, 真的是很... 很辛苦, 因为我看华文书比较多, 所以每次我一看这个 chapter 8, 我要去想, 为什么好像这样子讲, 因为我不太熟英文的那种 presentation,
yeah.
所以我花很多的时间在这个 chapter 8,
yeah.
And then at the same time, 其实我, 我都一直在看 Brother 你的书, 我看过了那种比较 simple English 的 Dharma book, 所以实在来看这个，哇，我真的是有一点格兰嘎布的。 But in 我在看这个 Chapter 8 的时候， 我只抓到了一个，当我看到就是那个Buddha 跟那个 Rahula 讲那个要去做 reflecting 的那个。
Very important.
的时候， 我整个人很像 full of joys 啊。 我看到了这个句子, just only this sentence, just for the reflections, 我整个人就觉得, yes, this is the correct. 所以因为我最近我在看回 Brother 你的一些书, 我从那些书里面, 突然间我看到一个 sentence, 我抓到那个 sentence 的 meaning, 很 deep 的一个 meaning 的时候, 我很多的 full of joys. Then 我才 realize that 有时我们在 we really need to do a lot of the contemplations,
yeah.
Or reflections.
You remember what I shared with you all? I said my teacher used to tell me not less than 7 times whenever I meet him, Ajayantra. He always tell me, he said, we just contemplate until very, very clear. Not less than 7 times. He keep on repeating this. Then that time I didn't even know about the second turning teaching, where I didn't read the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta until Yun Chan told me to come out to share the year 2004. I remember after the first two general topic of sharing, the first one was tsunami, where it so happened that year December 2004 tsunami. After that tsunami, we had one sharing on the tsunami. Then after that two or three sharing, they came and tell Yun Chan, why not we share Dhamma? And I told Yun Chan, yes, can. Then he said, what topic? I look at the wall of Vipassana Center, there I saw the five ascetic. I say the Buddha start with this, I also start with this. Then I asked him, you got any book on this sutta? But I haven't read the sutta before. I knew there is a sutta, but I don't have the sutta. Then he said, yeah, I get you one. Oh, he got me the Thai chanting book, very good. The English was quite close. Then when I read through, I was so surprised, there were the three turning there. You know. But they didn't link to the three type of wisdom. Sutamaya Panya, Chindamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. But straight away I knew what that three turning is. Because I've been doing that second turning before I know about the sutta for so many years. Yeah. I keep on reflecting and contemplating. And it was through that reflection and contemplation that I understood so many things. Every time I reflect, I contemplate, in the midst of life and nature, the understanding just keep on arising. Even after 1989. That's why when you have that initial awakening, the realization, after that you were to contemplate and reflect, the Dhamma keep on arising non-stop. Just like last time I told Song, after he connect, he will understand on his own. Technically, he don't need a teacher on. But he had to reflect and contemplate. That's why now, he see through, he will appreciate a lot of joy like he described. And he seldom read English according to his sharing just now. For the sake of those who don't know Mandarin. He normally read Mandarin book. So this book is tough because to him, his grammar is not good. His language also not good. Then this type of Dhamma is the more towards the Tipitaka type one, understand? The very difficult to like literature to our form four classes. So literature, the English is very difficult to comprehend on. So without that background, he find it very tough. But maybe it was nature's condition. You remember for two Tuesday, I had to continue the sharing because we didn't finish. So he got more time. So that's the reason why he was very well prepared today. So when he shared, although in Mandarin, it was very accurate. Very accurate. And he described them very well. Beside what he is not capable of comprehending the English part. That's why he said he liked my Dhamma transcript. Because they are very simple. I speak colloquial English related to life. And we Malaysians can understand colloquial English very well. Understand or not. And all those things. True or not. Can you follow? So all this is how he evolved. And after he connect since that year in Rayong, 3 years also. 3 years already, he should thank Yun Chan. Yun Chan was the one that organized the trip and brought them there. And it was there that he connect Acha Anand's place, Rayong. And because of Kuan Yin too, he bow, asked for forgiveness, and he seek Kuan Yin's blessing, protection and guidance. Then after that, the chanting came. There's, I don't know why Acha Anand chant that time of chanting. That Kuan Yin Bodhisattva or how to pronounce it? Avalokasthera Bodhisattva's chanting. I think is in Sanskrit or Pali, I forgot already. That time when they own that thing, he heard it straight away, it went in and it connect, and inside the heart just connect and open up. Then he starts to understand my teaching after that, very funny. At night when he read through my heart sutta note, he brought the appendix on J. Krishnamurti quote and the sharing one. That one was very good. He keep on understanding after he read. Because that teaching comes from the silent mind. If you have not connected develop the ability to have that silent mind to reflect, contemplate, and read and understand, you cannot understand the teaching one. You will find it very difficult to comprehend. But the moment you realize that silent mind, you read, you will understand. Because it comes from the silent mind. So this is one aspect of Dhamma cultivation that you all need to develop the clear understanding. It's not the theory. It's more of the actual comprehension through the silent mind. Without the silent mind, you cannot be in sati. Without the silent mind, you cannot have the clarity of mind to understand. Because the mind that is not silent, think a lot. Heedless, lost in thought. That's why the Buddha's emphasis is heedfulness. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. And this is Dhammapada verse 21, the first of the Appamada verse. And it's very clear. Without heedfulness or Appamada, you cannot develop the meditation. You are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. But the moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. That's why the whole of meditation is just emphasized on training the mind to be mindful and stabilize it to be ever mindful so that you are heedful in the midst of life. If only in the retreat you are mindful or heedful, but out of the retreat you are heedless again, you don't stand a chance. You have to be heedful in the midst of life most of the time. Okay? Oh, 10:30 exactly. So, any more question? If not, we can end, huh? No question? Okay, we end, huh? Thank you. Let us thank Brother Song for the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh yeah, my wife's alarm also sounded, huh? So let us do the sharing of merit, transfer merit. Then you make your aspiration and you pay respect, then we end. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus of Dhamma sharing and meditation and puja chanting and rejoicing. We will share all these merits with all beings starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta caamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
Song must appoint the next Tuesday. Huh? Song next somebody.